Hey, Joseph.
Hey, Crystal.
I've been really excited about talking about marriage lately, and especially about the apostolic implications of marriage.
I've noticed.
Would you like to record a conversation about it?
With me, your husband?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Welcome to A Word from Our Outpost.
With Joseph and Crystal Gruber.
A podcast for Catholic disciples who are wrestling to be missionary-minded in their normal everyday lives.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Direct, O Lord, our actions by thy holy inspiration, and carry them on by thy gracious assistance, that every word and work of ours may begin in thee, and by thee be happily ended. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
You want to talk about marriage?
I do.
And its apostolic implications?
Yes. One of the calls of a Catholic marriage is to be fruitful.
Yeah.
And that doesn't just mean biologically. And I mean, for some families, it doesn't mean biologically, but the fruitfulness, every family is called to be fruitful regardless of their fertility.
That it seems like you're implying that there's a different kind of fruitfulness other than just biological.
Yes. Apostolic fruitfulness.
Oh. Well, that would make some kind of sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things. Oh.
Yes?
Well, to give a little bit of context.
I would love context.
We want to talk today about what marriage is, specifically in regards to apostolic life. And then we want to talk about, in another podcast, hopefully the next one that we record and post, about the challenges to actually being spiritually fruitful in the context of marriage. And then we want to wrap up a little mini series with a third podcast about what do we do?
I love it.
How do we overcome the challenges?
So we want to talk about marriage and its apostolic dimension. We want to talk about common roadblocks or hindrances to apostolic life in marriage. And then we want to talk about like practical things that we can do, both for ourselves and maybe for others.
Yes.
Great.
Let's do it. Okay, so what is marriage good for, apostolically speaking?
To take a step back, like you said, marriage in general is instituted for the procreation and education of children and for the mutual help of the spouses. The church more recently has been talking about the unitive and the procreative purposes of marriage, right? And I guess we're diving a little bit more deeply into the educative and procreative side of things when we're talking about the apostolate.
Yes.
Which is awesome, because in the Second Vatican Council document, Apostolicum Exuositatem, in its section on the formation for the apostolate, it talks about how the training for the apostolate should start with the children's earliest education. It even goes so far as to say, in the family, parents have the task of training their children from childhood on to recognize God's love for all men. By example, especially, they should teach them little by little to be solicitous for the material and spiritual needs of their neighbor. The whole family, in its common life, then, should be a sort of apprenticeship for the apostolate. So basically, Apostolicum Exuositatem says that the marriage, the community that is formed by that marriage, should be an apostolate, an apprenticeship for the apostolate. Like, marriage is so instituted to train people in the love of God and love of neighbor that little by little, the people who are in that household are being trained in it.
Yeah, this is really challenging, because usually apprentices learn from masters.
Yeah.
And so this makes me feel like I ought to be more of a master than I am to give my children the appropriate education for the apostolate that they need. However, I know that I can learn more and I can grow more, and that I don't want to be discouraged by that.
challenged by it, though, right?
Yeah.
To say, okay, if I'm embarking on this grand adventure of marriage, which G.K. Chesterton called a duel to the death, which no honorable man should refuse, that if I'm going to do that, I should actually be striving for mastery of an apostolic life. I should desire to be suitably apostolic. And by apostolic, again, we talk about this from time to time. One's apostolate, or technically their share in the apostolate of Jesus Christ, is the particular role of each person to love God and to love their neighbor in such a way that advances the kingdom of God. So the missionary dimension of the Catholic faith, and that's actually deeply embedded into what a Catholic marriage entails.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. That's interesting because I don't think that's actually brought up very often in terms of marriage prep. And that's just fascinating to me, because it's like we don't want to challenge people about all these other teachings, and we don't even bring up this one that the church has in mind, that part of the education of children and the education of people in general is the training of our hearts to love God and love neighbor so much that our neighbor comes to know and love God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that just made my brain go down the train that we want for the next podcast. So I'm bringing it back to now, of marriage being for a school for the apostolate. So being a place where we can train our children in the apostolate and be more well-formed in it of ourselves. And we'll talk about practicals in the third part of the series more for that as well.
Because we can mention this a little bit, right? Because we're talking about love of God and love of neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, children are being formed in that if they see their parents pray and if they see their parents love each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then more and more is revealed if the parents are also praying for other people and also loving other people. So this is where the ability to witness an apostolic life really comes through. Like our children really get to know us by living in the same house as us all day, every day.
Yeah, I think that's a great lead into the next point about what is marriage good for. It's the center of culture, which is what Christ came to sanctify. And so this sharing life and love together as a family and inviting other people into it is the heart of where Christ comes to be and to transform.
Yeah, Jesus wants to transform the whole temporal order of things. So he wants to come in and to affirm everything that's good in a culture and to transform everything that is not good into something that is beautiful. But culture isn't this nebulous thing. Culture is built up from the household out. So our ability to not just consume cultural goods, but also produce cultural goods that overflow into the community. This is what families can do, whether it be putting on performances, whether it be singing songs, whether it be hosting dinner parties or hosting wine and cheese nights or hosting poetry readings. These have an ability to reorient the human heart toward the good, the true, and the beautiful, and ultimately toward God.
And this piece is really cool to me, because when we do these kinds of things as a family, and especially when we invite other people in them, my heart is so full of joy, full of love for people, that it's just hard to be anything but kind and generous. And when I think about the mess that the world is in right now, I think, man, like I want to make it better and not worse. And when we have these moments as a family where we're united around something, and loving well and learning to pursue goodness, truth, and beauty, I'm hopeful that when we leave the walls of our home, we're taking that that joy and that peace with us, and that we're contributing to the world getting better and not getting worse, which is also just a really, I think, important thing for us to remember when we are trying to build up our families, that the culture that we're creating in our time together at home, especially how husband and wife treat each other, because that is such a witness to children of how to treat other human beings, that this is a really powerful moment to teach real sacrificial love that could be really transformative.
I agree with all that has been said.
So, and this goes into, too, it's the marriage and the household is the source of order. And Christ desires to be the head of each of our families and of the church at large as well, of course. But this order that we can have in our homes can be a place of organizational health. And this piece is really interesting to me because it's sort of become like the socially acceptable norm that like being kind of frantic and busy means something good.
And yeah. And not only accepted, but expected.
Yeah. And I've had conversations with people recently that are like, oh, you know, things are just, you know how it is, you know, the losing of the things and the things being a mess. And I do know how it is, but I don't think it has to be that way. And I'm going to even venture to say, I don't think it's supposed to be that way. Like, I think God is a God of an order and that he actually desires for us to have well-run households. I'm in the process of figuring out how to pull that off and what that looks like, but I am like, we're making real progress in that. And that's just really interesting to me that part of what marriage is for having a place of peace and order, for the husband and wife, as well as for the children. And that in and of itself, I think, could potentially be very apostolic. Like when people come into a home and feel peace and see order instead of experiencing chaos, that's going to be transformative.
Yeah, and we talked about in our podcast on Ordinary Time about how order has an orderer. It has a principle that undergirds the order, and then a purpose, right? And if we understand the purposes of marriage, and we can understand, okay, even amongst the larger purposes of marriage, there might be sub-goals to pursue, right? Things that we can rally around that will give more clarity to the decisions that we're making and more unity in the decisions that we're making. That if we're coming from that side of things where we accept, okay, marriage is not something that we create. It's something that was divinely instituted that we participate in. And so we desire to conform ourselves to that. And we also recognize the uniqueness of our particular family and our particular role in the community. And we're trying to live that out in an explicit way. And so this order isn't just like the rigidity of a taskmaster or something. It's the organic structure from which real growth might take place, right? And you like to use the image of the tomato plant.
Yeah, I feel like I've shared that on a podcast before. Should I go for it briefly anyways?
Absolutely.
So we had a garden for the first time a couple summers ago, and I planted a couple tomato plants. And I don't know anything about plants or how they grow. You know, they start tiny and cute. And so I planted them all kind of close together. And my friend who was helping me out kind of chuckled at me a little bit. And I asked her to water the plants for me while we were gone for a little bit. And when we came back, she had put a tomato cage around one of the plants, one of those things that has the circles and the posts that stick in the ground and the circles that kind of hold them together. And that tomato plant that had the cage grew up in the cage, and it flourished, and it produced so much fruit, and it just kept growing, and it was large. And the other little tomato plants that had no support did not flourish. They produced a few tomatoes, but not anything near the other tomato plant. And this just really, it really was very enlightening to me and really opened my eyes. And I spent a lot of time with it in prayer, realizing that so often I sort of buck against structure and rules and things, but in reality, having some structure is what allows flourishing. And it doesn't have to be confining. Like that cage did not confine that plant. In fact, it is what allowed it to really grow and really produce fruit. And so thinking about that in relationship to marriage and order in two ways. One, having order within the household. So having a time for the different duties and a place for the different things, that actually allows more flourishing and less stress. But then also, as you were mentioning, like God's design for marriage, contrary to popular belief in the world right now, marriage isn't whatever we want to make it up to be and what we think it is. Like there is a definition of what God created marriage to be. And when we seek to understand what that is and learn why and how it is for our good, because it is, we will flourish in the way that tomato plant flourished. And we have free will, so we can choose different things, but we just won't flourish in the same way. And this is, it's supposed to be helpful. Like marriage is made, it was created by God to be helpful to us. And so when it doesn't feel that way, we're missing out on something. So how, why, what does it look like to be helpful in marriage, my dear Joseph?
Well, if you wanted to ask Pope Leo XIII instead of me, which you probably did, he wrote an encyclical called Arcanum Divinae. He says, not only in strict truth was marriage instituted for the propagation of the human race, but also that the lives of husbands and wives might be made better and happier. This comes about in many ways, by their lightening each other's burdens through mutual help, by constant and faithful love, by having all their possessions in common, and by the heavenly grace which flows from the sacrament. Right. There are common misconceptions about marriage, that the spouse is holding me back. It's, you know, she's the ball and chain. He's, you know, just that lump on the couch. But that's not the vision of a Catholic marriage. The vision of a Catholic marriage is that each spouse works for the good of the other, mm-hmm. and by working for each other's goods, there is mutual help.
And we realize that there are real struggles, which is why the next podcast that we're going to record is going to be about that. But right now we're talking about the ideal, and with it in mind that the ideal is worth striving for and can be reality, at least in part and an ever greater part right now.
And to see, too, the connection to the apostolic life, right? We've all been given a mission in life, right? One of the insights from Vatican II is the universal call to holiness, right? The church never said people in general are not called to holiness. I think there was just a prevailing attitude that the fathers of the Second Vatican Council were trying to counter, that was saying that holiness was for other people, you know, priests, religious, and such. But the common layperson is not so interested in holiness. And whether or not that was really the case throughout the whole Catholic Church pre-Vatican II, I don't know. It may be that many people did know that they were called to holiness, and that's wonderful, in which case they were just affirming something that people already knew to be true. But that thing that they knew to be true or didn't know is that we're called to be holy. And part of holiness is a call to mission. We're called to work for the salvation of souls.
And this, I love this, because why are we called, like, to work for the salvation of souls? God made us to be in relationship with us forever, for all of eternity. So God wants to be in heaven with us. He wants to have a heavenly relationship with us for all time, forever, beyond time. And marriage is a place that can help make us holy, where we can help get each other to heaven. But marriage lived rightly is also supposed to be for other people a foretaste of heaven, and for the married couple as well. A foretaste of heaven, it says in the catechism. And, or something to that effect. And we can put a catechism reference in the
show notes.
Show notes. And this is, I really, it makes me so sad to hear and to see so much talk that sees marriage is as the opposite. And we just, one of my old favorite movies was When Harry Met Sally, and we just rewatched it. And the way they talk about marriage as if it's this miserable, terrible, awful thing. And that seems to be sort of like the normal way of talking about it. But Pope Leo is saying, no, marriage is supposed to be good and beautiful. There should be heavenly graces. It can do much for the good of the family. And then it's talking about how husbands and wives might be made better and happier. And this can be our reality. It takes effort. It takes planning. It takes an intentionality. It doesn't happen by accident, but it is possible. And it's what we're made for. And it speaks to heavenly reality. It speaks to who God is, and it makes it pretty easy to share the gospel within that context.
Yeah, it also, it frames marriage and apostolic life interestingly. I'm thinking especially of Curtis Martin, founder of Focus. He has this image for discerning a potential spouse. He says, run after the good, and after a while, look to your left and your right and see who's running next to you. Those are the people you want in your life. From that group of people, maybe find your spouse. And thinking about how we came together, it's because we served as teammates, as missionaries for a year, and me reflecting very much on the fact that I enjoyed working alongside you in our apostolate. Mm-hmm. And as I was thinking about what marriage was good for, I was like, I want to marry a woman that I want to be on mission with. Like, I didn't see those as two contrary things. I saw those as, why would I want to marry someone who I wouldn't want to be on mission with? Mm-hmm. And I think something like that, maybe my dashing good looks bewitched you. I don't know.
We've often talked about how we, at other times in our lives, i.e. when we weren't on mission, probably would not have been interested in each other. I mean, your dashing good looks probably would have caught my eye.
Wouldn't have hurt it.
But yeah, the fact that we were on mission together and working together definitely showed me aspects of the kind of man you are that I would not have seen otherwise. And those were the things that attracted me to you. So yeah, being on mission as a couple.
As a team, like, it wasn't like we set out, oh, for matrimonial discernment, let's be on mission. We were pursuing the same kind of apostolic work and found each other through that work, which I think is a handy way to do it. Obviously not for everybody, and obviously not what everybody has done.
Well, and I think maybe to wrap things up, the idea that marriage, for all married couples, you get to be teammates. You get to work together. And that might not look like in an active, apostolic, full-time life, but you are teammates, and you do get to work together. And
you are on mission together.
And, yeah.
If you're in a Catholic marriage, that's what the Catholic marriage is for, to bring each other to heaven. So you married your permanent mission field. you married into a permanent mission field with your in-laws, and you maybe created more of a mission field by procreating. And but then, also, together, you're in a mission field wherever you're living and working.
Mm-hmm. And you get to invite people into your love in such a way that hopefully can and ought to be a light of Christ and be an opportunity for evangelization in and of itself.
Which I think is a really great way to think about marriage. I don't think I hear many people talk about marriage in those terms, though. And that's why I'm really glad we just recorded those words.
I love it. So we'll be following up with why this doesn't happen and then what we can do about it in two subsequent podcasts. And in the meanwhile, if you liked this, share it with a friend, rate us on iTunes, help get the word out. We would love to grow our little audience and share more. So if you think it's worthwhile, we appreciate the help. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this conversation. I pray that you would protect our marriage, that we might be a light of the heavenly realities that you have in store for us. And I pray for all of our listeners, and especially for those that are married or that are preparing for marriage or that hope to be married, that they would be able to pursue your design more fully every day. We ask all this in your holy name. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So take my hand, let's be on our way. And now finally I can say that I love you. Yes, I love you.
From our outpost to yours, thanks for listening. And a special thanks to John Mark Skoch.
That's S-K-O-C-H.
For the music.
Check him out on Spotify.